Morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Time is 9:01 a.m., March 15th, 2023. With me today is Senator Hoffman, Senator Merrick, Senator Olson, myself, Stedman, and we've been joined by Senator Diesel. We have one item on the agenda today, but before we get to that, I just want to make a quick comment to the committee men. I had a conversation with another colleague of ours in the other body, and he had this chart in his office. I thought it was kind of nice. So I had the print shop make up one for everybody at the table. It's the FY24 budget, governor's budget. That's without amendments and so on and so forth. So those numbers would get a little bit bigger. But I thought it might be an interesting conversation piece when folks come into our offices asking for capital appropriations, one after the other for months on end. So they recognize a little easier what we're dealing with. But use them as you would like. If you have no interest in it, you can return it to the office. I just thought it'd be a nice gift from the chairman to the committee members. But with that, today, we are going to have a presentation on the Alaska, from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. Their executive director, Mr. Randy Raro, who all of us are very familiar with here, and he has some folks online that can help him if he wants to have some assistance or needs some assistance. He is new to the position, but not new to the legislature or the administration. And I've also asked Mr. Raro to take the laundry of the subjects at hand today we're going to talk about, and we'll just hang them on the line. So we're just going to have some pretty frank conversations. There's some challenges that Mr. Raro inherited at ADA that he's working through, and we'll try to assist him in that endeavor as we work through. So I asked him for a frank conversation so we know what he's dealing with and what we need to be prepared for. So with that, Mr. Raro, if you could just take a moment for those watching at home, give them a brief synopsis of your history, legislative history here, and then go ahead and take us through your presentation.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Randy Raro, R-U-A-R-O. I'm the executive director of ADA. Started that position on January 3rd, 2023. Just wanted to briefly walk through an overview, Senator, of ADA. The positive news is that for the...
Second, before you jump into the ADA, maybe give the public a little brief synopsis of your background.
Oh, sure.
Unless you just showed up yesterday on the pumpkin truck.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my work experience background goes back 20 years in state government. Started work for Governor Murkowski in his legislative office. Worked for Governor Palin, Governor Parnell as a deputy chief of staff. Worked for Governor Dunleavy as a deputy chief and a chief of staff. Going back before state government, I was in private practice. And before that, I worked at the Ketchikan pulp mill, did some commercial fishing, number of different jobs right out of high school.
And did you ever work in the legislative?
I did work in the legislature for Representative Bill Williams as well, starting in 2000. Worked with Bill for 2-3 years, then worked 1 year for Rep. Johansson in 2007. And for Senator Stedman from 2015 session, I think, through 2022.
Okay. So you have a good rounded background in both areas of government. So if you can go ahead then and take us through the presentation, please.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So ADA's mission is really simple and direct. It's to create economic development and jobs. That is really all the mission is. It makes it very easy to follow and pursue. The reasons, findings, and policy are set out in statute by the legislature. And the legislature basically found that there was a need for a entity such as ADA with financing ability to help promote jobs and economic development. And our program splits into really two different fields. We are also a subdivision of the state. So at times, people think of ADA as separate from the state. We actually are part of the state. And we work a lot with the state agencies. We will continue to do that and pushing our mission forward, but we are actually a subdivision of the state. Our program highlights, Mr. Chairman, our loan participation program is a commercial lending program. ADA usually takes roughly 70% of a loan with a participating bank. And this program has been very successful. It's growing in success. We're doing more loans. We're helping more businesses get started and moving. And I think we receive almost 55% of our revenue from the loan participation program. We've got a very good experienced staff in place, and we're going to continue to build on this program. You can see some of the statistics on the right. 20 million in projects being financed now, ADA total 18 million, 410 million in loans outstanding. It's very few defaults that I'm aware of. It's just a solid program. Doesn't get a lot of press, so to speak, but it's a successful program. Another program we have, this is a program that I'm hoping to expand, is the Alaska Ship Home Porting Improvements Program. This promotes the development of shipbuilding in Alaska at one of our yards. I'm working with the CDQ groups, some of the CDQ groups I'll be working with more. We're going to try to get as many ships built in Alaska at our shipyards as possible. ADA provides financing for that. Low interest loans and brings jobs and economic development. We also own the shipyard in Ketchikan. It's operated by Vigor, and we're hoping to find ways to get some more business, not just to Vigor. We have other shipyards, but if we can get more business going at that shipyard, that's a positive for the community and economic development. So that's a program we're going to work on to expand as much as we can. Another popular program is our Conduit Revenue Bond Program. This is where ADA acts as a conduit borrower with the principal and interest paid back by a third party. There's an example there of the Tanana Chiefs facility, over $126 million loan bond issuance. And we've been active a lot in healthcare lately. That's been the primary area. But we're also talking to some communities about significant opportunities there as well, including Skagway with their port redevelopment. I was up there last weekend, and if we can assist on that, you know, project, we'll help in that too. So another successful program. Project financing.
Okay, just a second before you go to that next slide. We have a question from Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Raro, welcome. Good to see you this morning. On this program and the other one, the loan participation, do you have a sense of what our positive versus negative experiences have been? What's our default rate on loan participation? Have we had any missed payments on the conduit bonds?
No. Through the chair, Senator Keel, not that I'm aware of. I think it's been a very successful, steady program.
Well, what?
If you don't have it handy, the loan participation program, if you could get back to us with what the distress rate has been on those loans.
Through the chair, Senator Keel, we can do that.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Next slide.
Project financing is probably where you see ADA in the news the most. This is where we get behind and help promote individual projects. Our most successful project is the Red Dog Mine, of course. And I put in a number of statistics here that demonstrate that. Red Dog's returned, I think, in 7i revenue to NANA. I think it's close to $1 billion. I think that number's from 2016, so we'll update it. But it's a major driver of economic benefit and jobs. That 7i revenue goes out to other ANCSA corporations and ends up, you know, in every corner of the state. I think they have a 65% shareholder hire record in the region. Very positive project. And it's, well, the current mine is anticipated to run out in 2031 or so. There's two other deposits nearby on state land that we think may be just as large. And so Red Dog facilities in the mine may continue for many, many years. That's it.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Rohr, just the first bullet, and just to be clear, I think Red Dog's been a really responsible development. But somebody brought in a consultant's report that said that Red Dog would have been likely developed without 8i. I know we're reconstructing history, but can you just talk to us about the first bullet there?
I can. Through the chair, Senator Keel, that's an absolutely incorrect statement. The mine needed the financing to get started in 85, 86. So the legislature passed two bills, SB 279 and SB 280. One of them set up the economic development program at ADA. The other bill approved bonding of $160 million for the project, for the infrastructure. I've talked to several people, including Kent Dawson and others who were involved in the project at the time, and they absolutely say that Cameco did not have the cash reserves or the financing ability to get that mine started without those bills passing the legislature. And so I would absolutely disagree with that statement. I think that's absolutely incorrect on the record.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'll have to take a look at the full report.
Yeah. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ferraro, I hear what you're saying, but since Red Dog is in my district, it's my understanding that the market challenges that were out there certainly existed back in the 1980s, but after that, there would have been enough demand for the resources that were going to be mined out there, so there would have been a project that would have been there besides, without ADA being participating. It would take several, 20 years or so before it came to fruition. So I hear what you're saying, but that's just the comment that I have from my understanding of what's going on with the market.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Olson, I can only report back what I've, getting input from Mr. Dawson and others who were involved in the legislation and the project. You know, at the time, Mr. Shively, I think, as well was involved. But from what they say, Cameco couldn't afford the full $500 million price to get it up and running. And so the legislature stepped
in. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No further questions.
Any other questions on this slide? Okay, next slide.
FedEx hangar, the airport, Ted Stevens International Airport, successful project. We're getting a good return on it. Anchors jobs, and we're looking to improve and possibly expand some facilities at the airport. I think it's 1 in 8 jobs are tied to the airport in some way in Anchorage is what I've seen reported. So we're going to keep, ADA's going to keep being involved. We also, Mr. Chair, ADA financed the jet fuel tanks at the airport when there was a jet fuel crisis with getting fuel from Flint Hills. And the airport, was always under threat of being out of jet fuel. ADA stepped in and financed those tanks and helped the airport there as well. So a few examples at the airport of the work that we're doing. Ambler Access is probably the project that I'm spending the most time on right now. This is a 211-mile road west off the Dalton Highway into the Ambler Mining District, along the foothills of the Brooks Range, foot of the Brooks Range. And this is a right-of-way that Congress said should exist in Anilka. We're working on the pre-construction stage. It's in litigation. Unfortunately, we're trying to get through the litigation and find a way to get into our field more. We do have a $24 million field program underway, or set to get underway this year, and we're focused on local hire for most of those jobs, as many as we can get. We're hoping, the hope is, of course, that Ambler ends up similar to Red Dog in terms of benefits, shareholder hire, things like that.
Okay, before you go to the next slide,
sure.
Slide 11, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Roro, the two bullets there about claims purchased for mining and jobs, are those in the Ambler District, both of those?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, those mining claims are actually not all contained in the Ambler District. The Ambler District is more to the west end of the road. There's claims along the base of the Brooks Range as you travel that direction.
Follow?
Yes.
Could you run down for us the proven or probable reserves identified in the district that the road would be accessing?
I don't, through the chair, Senator Keel, I don't have the probable reserves right now. I can get those reports for you. And it, I guess it's important to remember as well that what's being permitted is the road. The mines would still have to have a separate permitting process. So the two are distinct right now.
Mr. Chairman, I only ask because the previous slide really had some baseline economic data, and you could really look to the some of the values potentially. And this one has a couple statewide numbers, so it strikes me as significantly different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so if you could get that data back to the committee, that would be appreciated.
Yes, sir. Another project that we're working on is the West Susitna Access Project. This project is about a 100-mile-long road. It has recreational values and mineral values. We're working. This is still in a very preliminary stage. So we're just getting the NEPA permitting up and running on this project, Mr. Chairman. But it has a lot of potential. Timber, mining. I think the Department of Natural Resources just put out a notice for oil and gas exploration possibilities. So this is a very, could be a very important, unique area here for recreational access and mineral values.
So are you looking at, on this project, are you looking at federal assistance in building a road, or is this going to be a dirt road? Much like a little oversized logging road, or what are you guys looking at?
Right, through the chair, it's going to have to be a more significant road, an industrial road, at least for the mining that would occur to sustain the mining trucks. So it'll be a heavier, larger road. Okay. We are also talking to Commissioner Anderson about any opportunities for any federal assistance.
Okay. Any questions on this slide? Okay, next slide.
ADA also has the ANWR 1002 leases. This effort to get the leases into production is also being litigated by the NGOs. It's in court. We hope to have an answer from the judge on whether we can proceed here in the next, hopefully, month or two. But right now it's stopped. Roughly 10.3 billion barrels of oil estimated, I think, technically recoverable if you include both state land. So there's state leases offshore of ANWR in state waters that are estimated to contain, I think, 2 billion barrels of oil. And then there's the Kaktovik Corporation lands that are estimated to contain 1 billion barrels. And then on the federal 1002 area, we have seven billion barrels estimated as recoverable. So our plan is if we can get through the court system, we'll move forward with an exploration program and try to define the resource.
So this is the leases that the state purchased?
Through the chair, yes, that's correct. These are leases that ADA purchased, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Do we have any questions on this, Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Roro, this one seems sort of like a one-off. Everything else is somebody in the private sector doing development work and a little state support. And it doesn't sort of feel like when Wally Hickel told the oil companies, you drill or we will, right? There's significant activity and corporate interest in the basin. Well, why so different here?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I'm not familiar with why more companies didn't bid on the Anwar leases, but clearly there's a effort underway by NGOs and others to not only litigate, but they'll boycott your company if they think, you know, you're being too aggressive at developing resources. I can only guess that the companies decided there were other places in the world that are maybe easier to drill, quicker to return, and they would avoid, you know, being put in the limelight by the NGOs of destroying the Arctic.
Just a follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I haven't found the oil industry to be easily cowed when they think there's a resource that's economic. So I guess the thing I'm trying to figure out is, as a state investment bank, why direct investment in this rather than support for a private industry project?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I think the ADA action was directed by the board to make sure that the state of Alaska preserved the opportunity in Anwar that Congress provided, rather than possibly have no one bid on the leases. And so ADA stepped up to preserve that opportunity. There's nothing that prohibits us from partnering, or I don't know if you can sublease, but there's nothing that prohibits us from partnering with the private sector at a later date. But we didn't want to lose the opportunity. There's only two lease sales directed by Congress in the 2017 Tax Act. This was one of them, and we wanted to make sure we had that opportunity preserved for the state. I mean, the potential revenue is tens of billions of dollars if we can ever get it up and running.
Okay. Any other follow-up questions on this one? Okay, next slide, please.
Some financial highlights. Mr. Chair, net income, $35.8 million, 28 years of positive annual net income. Our dividends are increasing and net income's increasing. $17.9 million this year, $463 million of total dividends declared since 96, a 67% increase from 2017 to 2021. So our dividend, I think, record is strong of positive returns. And most years, I think the dividend's close to the 50% maximum. I think it's 47% on average. ADA gets revenue from three locations: its loan participation program, project investments like Red Dog. Then we have some reserves that are externally managed and return some revenue. This is a financial summary of ADA, Mr. Chair. You can see that we have a net position beginning of the year of $1.4 billion. We have investments, securities, loans, assets, Snettisham, power lines, Red Dog Mine, quite a variety of things that we are involved in here. At the end of the day, we have a net positive position of $1.4
billion. So on this sheet on 17,
oops, sorry,
there's a net income decrease in fair value of investments of negative $48 million. Can you help me with what that is?
I'm sorry, what line are you
That's
on?
That's the left-hand column, fifth item down to negative $48 million. Something was written down. It says net increase, decrease in fair value of investments.
I might have to defer to Amy Adler or Jeff Johns on the phone, Senator. I think that's at least a partial reflection of the write down of the Mustang project.
Okay. If we can go to Ms. Amy Adler, the Chief Financial Officer, if you could help us with the issue here with the write down of assets on the Income statement, please.
For the record, this is Amy Adler, acting CFO for ADA. So I believe that is it's a change of fair market value of investments at June 30.
But what investments? I guess that's
our investment portfolio that's primarily externally managed.
Okay, if you can get back to the committee then on and give us 2-3 years, maybe three or four years of performance on those, and then break that down for us, that'd be appreciated. And then on Snettisham project interest expense, I think Snettisham, doesn't it revert to the utility, or there's some kind of financial instrument there that, and how is that going to impact ADA?
So, Mr. Chairman, AELNP will have the opportunity at the end of the loan to purchase Snettisham. The loan still has, I think, 12 years left on it. So I was talking to AELNP the other day. They are not interested in paying things off sooner. They're going to continue with the existing payment plan and make a decision about purchasing the asset at the end of the life of the loan.
And if they don't purchase it, then is it ADA retain ownership of it?
That's correct.
Okay. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Along the same lines under assets, can we get a listing of the development projects and the amount of investment we have and a breakdown of the $461 million?
Okay. Ms. Alder, could you help the committee then with a breakdown on the balance sheet of the developed projects that comprise the $461 million, please?
Yes, I can look into that and get back to the committee with that detail.
Okay. We have any other questions on? And then just as a brief explanation, because there's no footnotes here for us, help me with the deferred inflows on resources, the $219,000. Or a million, I guess. Millions.
Deferred outflows of resources is primarily related to employee pensions and also Snettisham project.
Okay, and if you can
details
break.
I can also get the details for you of that.
That would be appreciated because those are two unrelated items.
Yes, they are.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry, ma'am, I didn't catch your last name, but in relation to Snettisham, revenues are $2,522,000 and the expenses are $2,522,000. So can you explain that to me?
I will need to get back to you on that as well.
Thank you.
The offset, so.
That's what I'm
any other questions on this? Okay. We'll go on to page 18, please.
ADA's operating budget. Senator, it's a fairly benign budget. There are a few changes moving forward. Most of that's related to increased need by AEA to process significant amounts, I want to say close to $200 million in EJIA funds that are coming forward with a possibility of several hundred million more coming in grants. And so there's some increased receipts for personnel services, and I think they're asking for 5 positions in the budget this year. That could increase quickly. AEA's budget flows through ADA's budget. So our budget numbers include their personnel and costs.
Okay. Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't see anywhere else in the presentation to ask us these questions. So ADA's personnel and, you know, your position of coming on board, there were some challenges. Can you talk a little bit about how the workflow or work culture is going today in ADA and retention recruitment situations in ADA, and are staplers still being thrown in conference rooms?
Mr. Chair, Senator Wilson, In my view, the work environment is very positive. I have a very good staff. It's a small group, 6 to 8 that I work with on my senior staff. And I think everybody's got a niche that they work on, and we meet in the mornings twice a week, talk about the issues and projects, and it's a very healthy work environment, and I think the team, I think everybody's pulled together as a team, you know, really well. So I have a very open management style, so everybody's involved in the issues and the projects, and I think it's going really well.
So has there been a culture change since you took the realm, the helm and the realm of Ada?
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't there before, obviously, I started, but what I can speak to going ahead is that, you know, everybody's treated respectfully in the workplace. We're seeing similar recruitment and retention issues as any other state agency. There's people that see better opportunities, and some are taking those. But I'm very happy with my core staff, and proud of the work everybody does. And everybody's pulled together as a team in my mind. And I've worked with these small units of 6 to 8 people as a team for years, you know, in the governor's office, and trying to break down silos, pulling people together to work together. And I think it's come along great.
And then do you have open positions that you're trying to fill still? Or?
Through the chair, we have a couple of open positions. We have candidates for those, and I think we'll be hiring for those in the next week.
And I'd like you to get back to the committee when it's convenient for me on the process, the hiring process, as far as how quick when you identify a future employee and make them an offer to get them on board, you know, the organization and behind a desk. We've had some concern here at the table that the state bureaucracy is so cumbersome, it takes too long to accomplish that goal, and the potential employees sometimes go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. By the time we can get the full hiring process done. So it'd be nice to get a little feedback from some of the agencies and as we try to troubleshoot that issue with the administration.
Yep. Through the chair, ADA's got a statute that allows us to hire fairly quickly that's helpful, and so we try to do that pretty fast. But, okay. It is taking a little while to recruit a good class of folks for certain positions, the higher-end positions. Okay. But I think we've got good candidates, and I think we'll be filling a number of positions here in the next week.
Okay. And, next slide, I guess. Oh, we got a question from Senator Bishop.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Arena, any of those positions in-state, or are you getting a lot of out-of-state participation, or do you know?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, all our positions are for in-state work at the office, and all of our candidates, to my memory, are all in-state.
Thank you.
Senator Wilson, did you have a question? Okay. Any other questions on this slide? Okay, next slide, please.
Mr. Chair, ADA's dividend for the FY24 budget is unique. I'll just walk through some of the background before we get to that. But our revenue comes in, it's reinvested in ADA programs, or it's issued as dividends. That's per statute. The dividend has to be between 25% and 50% of the annual income. Our dividends have been, we have a strong record of dividends. 47% of net income is the norm that's provided to the legislature and the treasury. $464 million over 28 years to the treasury and the legislature. Mr. Chairman, our 2022 declared dividend, which is what's in your budget for this year, what goes back 2 years, is the 17 amount of $17,904,000 in cash or assets. The board shortly before I came on board, passed a resolution that the dividend would be that amount in cash or assets. And that's what you have before you this year in the budget. This is the budget amendment that was provided by OMB to the legislature and this committee. Roughly $13,904,000 is allocated to the value of the Mustang Road, which is a road that will be turned back to DNR and the state of Alaska. So it is a unique dividend in the sense that for the first time in ADA's history, we're including an asset versus purely cash. The Mustang.
Before you jump into that, so this is the amendment. I see in your presentation you're going to go into the Mustang project. We probably have some questions on this slide here, slide 23. And then there might be questions that you want to defer into the next couple of slides, however you want to deal with that. But the Mustang is a project that's been challenging for the state. And maybe if we're going to go into Mustang, maybe it'd be easier for the public to follow along if you gave us a brief history of the of Mustang. Is that what you're going to do in the next couple of slides? Or?
Sure. What we could do, Mr. Chair, is have Mr. Jeff Johns, who's very familiar with Mustang, should be on the line, provide a brief chronology of the project, and then maybe we can get into the road.
Yes, and then we can get into the question. Senator Hoffman.
Yes. Can you go over the $17.9 million dividend? Are you saying that $4 million of that is cash?
Through the
and comparing that to previous years, it has been as high as $26 million, and that is all the other the amounts that we see close to $1 billion have been in cash.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, that's correct.
And who makes the decision? Is that the board that makes the decision to give a dividend in assets? And how is that allowed? Is there a law that allows that that dividend be given in land? Because the reason that we want it in our investments, return on investments, is so we can have the cash to allocate to the citizens of Alaska. Now it seems as though we've invested cash into ADA, and now we're getting another asset that is not going to potentially realize income that the legislature can spend. So I wonder if you could expound on that before we get into the ins and outs of Mustang.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, you're correct that the board made the decision. The board, by statute, is authorized to declare a dividend. In this resolution of December 2022, they took these steps of declaring a dividend, but including as part of the dividend an allocation of value to a hard asset, which is the Mustang Road.
And I guess the question that I have is, under what authority do they have the power to give dividends in an investment? It seems to me that is not something that was originally intended by the state of Alaska, and when you have the vast majority of the dividend being conveyed to the state of Alaska in another potentially questionable investment, that I guess I need to know what authority do they have to make that decision.
Okay. You want to answer that, and then we'll continue on?
Sure. Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, there is a specific statute that gives the board authority to declare dividends. I guess
I'm well aware of that. I need to know how do they determine that it's not going to be cash anymore.
Mm-hmm. through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I wasn't present at the board meeting, but I would assume they debated the question, voted to pass this resolution on the structure of the dividend. I mean, that's their normal process for how they take action as a board.
So let's go through the Mustang, and then we'll circle around to the dividend at the end, because I think we're going to get into a discussion on this road issue and what's behind it, what's going on, because I think we're going to find there's another agency involved here also. Mm-hmm. And then we'll come back and circle around and try to sort out the dividend question, because clearly a dividend that's not cash is rather cumbersome for the Finance Committee to deal with, particularly in the capital budgets.
I understand, Mr. Chair.
So let's go to ask Mr. Johns, the Chief Investment Officer of ADA, to give us kind of an overview of what's going on with Mustang and the history. And just as a brief note, Mr. Johns, some folks are not going to be have the history of the Mustang issue. So kind of walk us through it, and it might take a few minutes because it does get a little complicated and involved the audit and other things in the past. So, Mr. Johns.
Yes. Good morning. And for the record, my name is Jeffrey Johns. I am the Acting Chief Investment Officer here at ADA. And through the chair, I will provide the committee as brief of history of the Mustang project as I can. For clarification purposes, as I have been an ADA employee and been involved in the Mustang project since the commencement of my tenure here, which was approximately August of 2019. Now, historically, in the context of Mustang, is ultimately the Mustang project and ADA's involvement began as far back as about 2011-2012 timeframe. And at the time, there was a suite of diverse working interest owners and interested parties in the development of Mustang, or what is ultimately referred to as the Southern Milivach Unit. The primary company that we're going to be addressing is an entity called Brooks Range Petroleum Corporation. Brooks Range was a working interest owner and the named operator of Mustang. They began development on the Mustang project, again, in the Southern Milivach Unit. I'll use these as synonyms. Back in 2012, when they attempted some to delineation wells or drilling some wells to assess the oil that is available on the Southern Milivach Unit. Ultimately, is Brooks Range through 2012 and 13, 14, and 15 has provided to the Department of Natural Resources an annual what's referred to as a plan of development. And ultimately, they were unsuccessful in meeting those plans of development, whether it's related to drilling of wells, production of oil, bringing the assets online for a suite of reasons. They could be technical related or financially related. ADA got involved specifically in the Mustang project back in the 2013 timeframe when we passed a resolution to fund up to $20 million related to the construction of the Mustang road and pad. For the record, that is resolution G1208. And subsequent to that is Brooks Range did complete and construct the road, and the road was available in 2013 with an as-built cost, which includes the pad, of about $26 to $27 million. And then in 2014, through resolution G1409, ADA advanced an additional $50 million to the development of the Mustang project. And that was to be part of a broader $200 and $250 million development. The additional funds were to be raised through, we'll call it an Asian entity, through the owners, the other ownership group at the time. It was Alpha Energy Holdings and a Singapore-based entity called CES Oil Services. As we were quite well aware, is the project ultimately ran into challenges in 2015 with the precipitous decline in commodity prices. Ultimately, the project was put into what was referred to as warm standby in that period, whilst the working interest owners and ADA being involved trying to work out how to advance financing to the project, because the additional funding through the Southeast Asian entity unfortunately didn't materialize, and the project was cash strapped for that reason, as well as the veto of approximately $200 million of 2014 tax credits. Moving forward is we, again, through various resolutions in 2017, we provided ADA provided a bridge loan of approximately $2.5 million that was related to one particular well that ultimately flow tested, that resulted in that particular well being certified by DNR to be able to produce in economic quantities, which preserved the Southern Milivet unit as a unit. That's an important milestone for the development in the project. Subsequently, we provided an additional approximately $300,000 line of credit through Resolution G2018 to sustain the project through, again, the depressed commodity prices. And at that time, ADA was also in negotiations with Brooks Range and the other working interest owners to change its involvement in the project from an equity owner to senior secured lender. And that ultimately took place in May of 2019, where ADA provided a $64 million loan to an entity called Caracol Energy or Caracol Petroleum, who was ultimately owned by a Singapore entity called Alpha Energy. In 2019, in the fall, Brooks Range approached ADA and said that they were unable to meet its debt service payment, which was due on October the 1st, of $3.1 million and asked for forbearance. Because the project had not been advanced in terms of drilling, it was taken the decision that we would not provide forbearance and issued notices to cure. They had 30 days to address that, and unfortunately, Brooks Range was unable to cure the default on the loan, and notices of default were issued. At that time, Brooks Range was still seeking to produce some oil, and they ultimately did. In approximately November of 2019, they produced for a period of about 20 days and produced approximately 11,000 barrels of oil. Production had to be ceased because they were unable to capture the gas produced and re-inject it back into the reservoir, and they met the limits of their gas flaring permit. At which point in time, in December, the project was placed into warm standby again. During that time, as the senior secured lender, ADA was working with the now new ownership group to refinance the project and get it started. ADA passed an additional resolution related to the attempted restructuring, which was Resolution G2020. And unfortunately, the requirements under this restructuring by the Alpha Energy Group, Brooks Range, and the other owners, they failed to meet those conditions on the signed term sheet. And as a result, we commenced foreclosure proceedings on the project. And the project at that particular time was then placed into cold shutdown, where the pad the oil pipeline were de-inventoried of all hydrocarbons and sensitive electronic equipment was moved off-site and securely stored. Throughout the summer of 2020, ADA was working with the Working Interest Owner Group on another attempt to refinance and restructure the development. And in the September board meeting, there was representations made by the ownership group that they were prepared to proceed with the deal that we had negotiated. And based upon that, we commenced with the non-judicial foreclosure in late September of 2020, at which point in time we had a resignation of the operator, Brooks Range Petroleum Corporation, and ADA foreclosed on its working interest in the form of real and personal property and became the 90.1% working interest owner of the Mustang development. The other two owners, which are carried, which are neighbors, drilling, as well as an entity called Alaska Venture Capital Group. Immediately following the foreclosure, the entity with whom we were dealing with decided that the deal that they had pre-negotiated and whose signature we held in escrow decided to change the particular nature of the deal, and unfortunately we were not able to proceed, at which point in time we took steps for Mustang Holding, the entity that was created and wholly owned by ADA, to become the named operator of the Southern Milovich unit, and we commenced satisfying all regulatory required insurance and bonding. And then for the last 2 years, we have been working to secure a new deal for the redevelopment of the Mustang project. And in particular, in August of 2021, we received board approval through resolution G2117 to commence a competitive bid and sale process, at which point in time we established a data room, signed non-disclosure agreements with approximately 8 or 10 interested parties. And since that time, we have been negotiating with one interested party and we remain in conversations with them with the hopes that we will be able to bring successful resolution to the Mustang project and the Mustang development itself. At that, I will yield the floor and try to address any particular questions that the committee may have.
We've got some slides here we're going to walk through, but just a brief one on that $2 million loan in the earlier part. Wasn't that directed not to the state but to property tax, the payment of that?
The $2.5 million bridge loan, yes. I can clarify that particular language in the resolution, as I do not have that immediately in front of me.
I think that was, as I recall, it was picked up in the audit, but maybe what we should do here at the table for everybody is have the audit reprinted and delivered out to everybody so we can take a look at that. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The audit that you're referring to was done by Legislative Budget and Audit, and they spent considerable amount of time going over the audit and the discrepancies. But you went over a lot of information. Can you provide the written information that you went over, as well as the copies of the resolutions to my office and possibly to the committee, so we can have a detailed written record, because all of that is very important information, and I believe the Finance Committee should have written copies of those. Thank you.
Okay, so the responses will come back to the chairman, and we'll dispense it out. But let's walk through that, because some of the timeline is going to get repeated here on the slides, because it does get complicated, and when it's just a blur, or it becomes a blur after a litany of over a decade of issues. So I think to that point, Senator Hoffman, of maybe having a more of a written response from him at the end, plus the reprinting of the audit and the audit follow-up, I think will be helpful. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was trying to take notes as I went, and I missed some of it. It sounds like at this point, Ada owns 91% of the road. I didn't quite track how much money Ada put in. What's the net number?
Let's just walk through these slides, and then we'll come up and try to grab that at the end.
Okay.
The end slide, because we'll get into the road issue, I think, and maybe some other issues. And I guess possibly what we should have done with Mr. Johns was slow him down a little bit and had him walk through the slides. So some of this is going to get repeated, but we'll survive that. We'll go on to slide 25, I guess.
Sure, Mr. Chairman. So slide 25 shows the Southern Milovich unit and the Mustang project. The Mustang project is located in between, in a way, the Pekka project and the Willow project and a number of other developments. It's a strategic location. The road connects into these other developments. Mustang Road itself is about 4.5 miles long. It's not a long road. The Mustang pad is about 17 acres in size. This is slide 26, Mr. Chairman, is an aerial view of the Mustang Road as it leads to the pad and connects in with another existing road. Slide 27, Mr. Chairman, is a bit of a timeline for the Mustang Road. Starting in 2012, the Ada Board approved a $20 million investment for the road. That was through resolution G1208, and we can, to Senator Hoffman's comments, we can get copies of the resolutions and timeline.
Can we also get the vote on the adoption of the resolutions if they were not unanimous?
So we'll, when you, some of this stuff will be in backup, I think, also in the audit. So we could kind of work with that. But yes, on the resolutions and then the vote and dealing with, I think, the minutes of the meeting, I think, is what we'll have that. We can have the minutes of those meetings would be better. Let's let him finish slide 27, then we'll do questions. We'll start the questions when he's done with slide 27 with Senator Bishop.
Calendar year 2013, Mr. Chairman, the Mustang Road and pad was constructed complete. Ada Board approved a cost reimbursement agreement, and DNR granted Brooks Range a 5-year entry use for the road.
Okay, before we go on to that next slide, and then they've, you probably want to walk through your bullets, but on the last one, DNR grants Brooks Range a 5-year early entry authorization. So we walk through these. Senator Bishop.
Slide 26, Mr. Roro, the blue line is the Mustang Road line, correct?
The blue line, Senator, I think is just indicating the length of the Mustang Road. The Mustang Road is actually that other
That's what I wanted to get
line
clarification.
On the
So the darker line is the Mustang Road.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on 27? Okay, slide 26. Okay, we'll go on to slide 28.
Slide 28, Mr. Chairman. There's a lot of detail in these. I apologize. But calendar year 2017, Brooks Range assigned the Mustang Road easement to Ada. Ada Board approved the acquisition of that LLC that held the road. There were some agreements, Q4, between the LLC and Brooks Range. Q4, Ada informed DNR authorities acquired 100% of the interest. Calendar year 2018, Brooks Range and Oil Search entered into a month-to-month SMU infrastructure use agreement. Calendar year 2019, DNR granted Brooks Range
Okay,
20-year.
A second. Do we have any questions on 28 and with calendar year 17 or calendar year 18? Senator Hoffman.
Yes. In the first quarter of 2017, when Brooks Range assigned Mustang Road to Ada, of the easement, was there any value to that when it was transferred?
I think I'll have to ask Mr. Johns for the answer on that question, Senator. I'm sorry.
Okay. Mr. Johns, can you help Senator Hoffman with his questions on the value, if any, of the easement?
This is Jeffrey Johns through the chair. Senator Hoffman, at that time, again, this is prior to my tenure, but I do not believe that there is any value related to that particular transaction. An entity, Mustang Road LLC, was structured related to the potential road and use pad agreement and recovery of investment revenues that ADA had provided to Brooks Range in the form of $20 million, and also a nominal working interest that Mustang Road LLC had at the time in the Southern Milovich unit or SMU unit. I believe it was 1%.
And to follow up, Mr. Chairman, did ADA request this easement?
Mr. Johns, can you help us with that?
Yes. Through the chair, this is Jeffrey Johns. Again, I will have to look into the specific board resolution and documentation related to the transfer and assignment of that easement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That would be good. Mr. Johns, we'd prefer that you do that versus make a misstatement.
Most certainly.
Do we have any other questions on slide 28? Okay, we'll go on to slide 29.
Calendar year 2019, Mr. Chairman. DNR granted Brooks Range a 20-year private non-exclusive Mustang Road easement. At roughly the same time or in close proximity, Oil Search applied for an easement general land use permit covering the entire length of the road. There was some additional supplemental information into DNR. Brooks Range and Oil Search basically disagreed on the ability to use the road. And in calendar year 2020, DNR granted Oil Search a 5-year entry authorization.
Slow down here a little bit. Let's go back up to 19.
Sorry.
Or 29. We have any questions on slide 29? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, in the first quarter, is this the same easement that DNR grants the 20-year easement back to on the Mustang Road that was in the first quarter of 17?
Mm-hmm. Through the chair, Mr. Johns has got more information on that.
Yeah, Mr. Johns, could you help us with the transfer of these easements, please?
Yes, through the chair, again, I think this is a clarification that we will have to thoroughly review. Because, of course, this was specific to Brooks Range Petroleum, and understanding what the difference is between this particular 2019 granting of the easement and the 2017.
Okay. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I think in Mr. John's initial history, he said somewhere here in calendar year 2019, ADA converted its ownership to that of a senior secured lender. Can you just tell us what happened there and who was paying?
Mr. Johns?
Yes. So through the chair, that timing is correct. In 2018, ADA commenced conversations and discussions with Brooks Range Petroleum and its working interest owner group, specifically an entity called Caracol Petroleum, who was in turn owned by a Singapore-based entity called Alpha Energy Holding. In May of 2019, through transaction documents, ADA restructured its involvement in the project from an equity owner to a senior secured lender in the form of a $64 million loan, a separate approximately $6 million loan, and then the assumption of a Department of Revenue loan of approximately $16 million, and that is the loan that was subject to the audit that was earlier discussed and mentioned.
So what was the collateral on the loans?
The collateral on the loans was principally the real property that constituted the leases of the Southern Milovich unit, as well as several other North Slope of Alaska oil and gas related leases, as well as personal property in the form of equipment and bank loans and other such items.
Was there any letters of credit involved in this?
Not to my knowledge, but we will confirm that.
Okay. We have any other questions on this? Okay, we'll go on to slide 30.
Mr. Chairman, in calendar year 2020, DNR granted Oil Search a 5-year entry authorization and a 35-year easement term. The terms stated Oil Search should coordinate with other lease and easement holders, not unreasonably interfere with access or operations. Brooks Range disagreed with that decision and filed an appeal with DNR, contesting the overlapping easement grant over the road. And the basis of the appeal was that the granting of the easement was a taking of the private property without compensation. The commissioner removed the automatic stay and allowed use of the road by Oil Search to continue. Quarter two, ADA and OSA.
Just stop there for a minute for clarification. Commissioner of what? Of who? Or?
Oh, the then DNR commissioner. ADA and OSA, Oil Search then entered into an MOU, cost reimbursement agreement. Calendar year 2021.
We're going to stop there on this slide and see if there's any questions on slide 30 before we jump on to 21 on the time frame. We're waiting to see where our money disappears to. I think it's coming.
Calendar year
slide 31.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Calendar year 2021, DNR transferred the Mustang Road easement to Mustang Holding LLC. Mustang Holding then stood in the shoes of Brooks Range on the appeal with DNR. And at this point, the ADA board in quarter four, 2022, December, is when they took action, deciding that it was best to include the road in its dividend declaration and passed resolution G22-15.
Okay, so we want to stop there on this. So can you repeat that end? I'm having trouble following the cash. So go over 22 again, if you would, please.
Sure. Calendar year 2022, Mr. Chair, Mustang Holding LLC assumed the easement appeal that Brooks Range had filed with DNR regarding the decision by DNR to grant Oil Search Santos the overriding easement to use the road without compensation. Mustang Holding LLC basically now stands in the shoes of Brooks Range in that appeal. Oil Search Santos oppose the appeal by Mustang, so we have an active issue in front of the department. The board, 6 months later, decides that it's best to include the value of the road in the dividend declaration and passed board resolution G22-15.
So gonna have to help me a little more. Mm-hmm. So Santos got use of the road with no compensation. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that's correct.
And then the new Mustang Holdings LLC, they're the owners of the road, the easement?
Through the chair, that's correct.
And then what holdings does ADA have in Mustang Holdings LLC?
I believe we're the owner-operator, owner of Mustang Holdings LLC. But if I could defer to Mr. Johns as the expert, just to
right.
confirm all of those points.
Okay, Mr. Johns, can you help us with that? Because it appears, is Mustang Holding LLC ADA?
Yes, through the chair, yes, that is correct.
Okay.
ADA created Mustang Holding LLC to hold the assets that were acquired in the September 23rd, 2020 non-judicial foreclosure.
LLC stands for?
Limited Liability Corporation.
Not long lost cash. I think that's what we're going to talk about here. I just put a little humor on that. This gets pretty twisty. So Santos has cost-free or however, no remuneration back to ADA under the LLC holdings. And then help me with the money, the dividend. What happened to the last two bullets? Because now it's clear that ADA owns the road, another entity's using the road. So clarify how the dividend got on a diet.
Through the chair, one point I should clarify, and Jeff, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Santos does contribute to the maintenance of the road out of their pocket.
Okay, some nominal fee for wear and tear or what have you. Okay.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
For those that are watching, what is the importance of the easement? What is the easement used for?
Through the chair, the easement right is what allows for the use of the road. So if you don't have the easement right to the road, or then you basically can't use the road. So
what is the road used for?
Through the chair, the road is used for transportation back and forth to the oil, to the PICA unit, and it's also used for, of course, access to the Mustang pad. And I think it does tie in even with some Conoco pads in use in the Kaparik unit.
So does Santos have any interest in the Mustang pad? Or their interest really lies in assets beyond Mustang, physical assets beyond Mustang, that they want to transverse this road so they don't have to build their own road?
Through the chair, that's correct.
Okay. Okay, so Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ferraro, I guess one of the questions I have is, how was the decision made to go ahead and allow a usage of the road without compensation, which is fairly bothersome, because if I owned a road, personally, I would make sure that whoever's using it is not just using it for nothing or easement or for maintenance, but also if they're going to assets, they're a for-profit company, and Santos is a multinational company being out of Singapore. And so because of that, I guess, how was that decision made?
Through the chair, my understanding of it, and I haven't studied it extensively, but my understanding is that Oil Search filed an application, maybe designated a general land use permit, which brings rights of use with it, that overlapped the easement and the road, and that the commissioner granted that authorization, bringing with it the right to use the road.
So is that normal, the general land use tool, or is it fairly creative from the commissioner's position?
Through the chair, I've never heard of it. I don't deal a lot in DNR authorizations, but Mr. Johns may have some awareness.
Okay, Mr. Johns, can you help with that? This general land use permit, so so someone can access basically a state-owned asset for just maintenance costs?
Yeah. Through the chair, this is Jeffrey Johns. It is my understanding that this is the only instance where a third party has been granted an overriding easement on another party's already previously owned asset and pre-approved easement.
Okay. Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Who is the DNR commissioner at this time?
Through the chair, I believe the DNR commissioner at the time was then Commissioner Feige.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have an entity using the state road owned by ADA, which Mustang Holding LLC. So let's talk about what happened to the money that Senator Hoffman was planning on spending in the capital budget.
Before we go to that,
yeah, we can back up. Senator Olson.
I guess, Mr. Raro, I guess I'm wondering, I realize it's before your time, what I'd like to know is how much money did the state put into this Mustang Road through project finance loans, through bridge loans, through tax credits, and those kind of things, and get a total of that. And then, of course, the net would be how much was paid back in dividends minus what's the value of the asset, which is a road, which, as I look at the pictures there, it's across wetlands, and not a lot of people are going to be using that road except for going out to the oil patches. It's not like somebody can go up there on vacation or go hunting on that road for the caribou that's there. So I'd like to know how much money that ADA actually did put into that Mustang Road.
So let's defer that here to Mr. Johns, and then I'd like to add also any type of appraisals or assessments of value to this road in time. So I think the question that Senator Olson has is what's the basically our investment in this asset, and how did that value, if it changed up or down over time with assessments? I assume that there's property tax paid or some mechanisms requiring some kind of assessments. Can you help us with that?
Yes, through the chair. Yes, so as previously mentioned, in approximately 2012, ADA provided a $20 million loan to Brooks Range Petroleum Corporation specifically for the construction of the approximately 4.5-mile Mustang Road and the approximate 17-acre Mustang Pad. The total construction costs of those two pieces were approximately $26 million, of which is our understanding that about $16 million of that total $26 million was applied to or specific to the Mustang Road. We have in our possession an as-built valuation performed in 2016, and more recently at the engagement of ADA Mustang Holding LLC, an independent third-party evaluation that was of the road specifically, exclusive of the pad, that was performed in November of 2021.
Okay, but you need to put dollars on it because this is the money committee.
That's correct. So the valuation, the most recent valuation of the road was $13.9 million.
So you got an asset that you got a valuation of $13 million, roughly $14 million in that range. Your total sunk cost is $26 million. Is that correct?
Yes. Again, ADA was $20 million of that $26 million. And approximately in those 2013 dollars, $15 to $16 million was specific to the road.
Correct. So the question there also dealing with Senator Olson's question is, we want to know what the total cash outflow is and the inflows, and then we'll know our net on this. And then who got the credits? There was credits available at that time dealing with construction of in our oil basin, substantial credits, and you had mentioned that they were caught up in a veto, which sometimes it was vetoed, sometimes we didn't appropriate here for those credits. But who ended up with the credits?
So there was a history of some credits received by an entity involved in this particular project. We will provide details along with the other information we will subsequently be providing. More recently, through the last two tax credit payments, an entity that was also owned by ADA called Mustang Operations Center 1 or MOC 1 did receive a total sum of approximately $12 million in those two most recently provided tax credit payments through the Department of Revenue.
Did Mustang get Mustang LLC or ADA get remunerated with any credits through the either holding as collateral or any financial transactions, or did all the credits just go to somebody else's pocket?
No, for clarification purposes, ADA is the owner of Mustang Holding LLC. Mustang Holding LLC owns that entity that I referred to as Mustang Operations Center 1 or MOC 1, and that MOC 1 entity did in fact receive those $12 million in tax credit payments.
Okay. So
therefore, by default, Mustang Holding did, and therefore ADA did.
So if you could help the committee understand the data that you send us back, because we're going to want to just follow the cash. We want to track it year by year, the ins and outs, including credits, and then footnoting the assessment of the asset being written down, and then when did that write down appear on the books, and so on and so forth, so we have a clear timeline of this, because when you get into these subjects with all the twists and turns, it's a lot harder to hide the cash if you follow the cash than all the curveballs that are going to be coming at us. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess the other question is, in that 2019 conversion, that there was mention of a $16 million, I think it was Department of Revenue loan assumption. What was the original source of that loan, and did ADA provide cash or assets in exchange for assuming that?
Mr. Johns, can you help Senator Keel with that question?
And through the chair, we will have to review the documentation related to that particular assumption of the loan. Again, as this was prior to my tenure and I was not involved in that particular transaction.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Mr. Ferrero, and then we'll go to Senator Hoffman.
Sure, Mr. Chair. I think I can help with the answer to Senator Keel's question somewhat. The source of that loan was also the subject of the legislative audit. So the audit will identify the exact source of that Department of Revenue loan. I haven't read the audit for a few years, but I know it's there.
Correct. We'll put that audit package together with the responses from ADA to make it kind of a holistic document so we can understand, and those that follow us decades from now can look back if they want to and follow what's going on. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we look at slide 21, the asset of $13.9 million and $4 million in cash, that's the appraisal of the road. So that's the $13.9 million that we're going to receive in and is payable to us. And I don't see how you pay an asset, but it's listed as payable in FY24. But the 35.8 statutory net income of ADA was the highest in 8 years. So instead of keeping 50% of the net income, they're keeping probably 90% or more. What is the board planning to use that additional revenue for that is not coming to us? Because clearly they have a six-year high income of $35.8 million. So do we know what difference there in their expenditures from the previous year that they're going to be spending that $14 million on?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I'm not aware of an identified spend allocation for the funding.
So can I ask you to look at what they had proposed to spend their budget on, and is there a $14 million increase, and where is the difference being allocated to as requested by the board? And so, while we're at it, can we get a list of the board members, where they live, and what their job responsibilities are?
So
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so we got a $17 million dividend, of which we're going to get $4 in cash, and a $13.9 million. The question is, where is it? Is it retained in your organization? Or is it somebody, are you writing a check to somebody else, or what have you? And then what do we, if we give a dividend of a road to us, what do we do with it? Do we auction it off, or what do we help us with what we do with this road? Because Ada owns it, and you're going to give us the road. Is that right?
Chair, that's correct. The road would go back, revert in ownership to DNR. DNR at that point, I believe, could attempt to release, sell, dispose of the road, or it could retain ownership of the road and charge a fee for the road.
So we could have a conversation with potentially the new owner, DNR, which is still the state, on or $13.9 million.
Correct.
Dividend. Okay. Is that, just trying to sort this out so we can, you know, if we follow the cash, it makes it a little easier. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As appropriators, we are the ones that appropriate the funds. So we are overseeing ADA. So can the question be asked, does the legislature have the flexibility in the budget process to say that we want a real dividend in greenbacks? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So I think that would be a ledge legal question to find out, because this is new to us.
It would seem that we would have that option. The ADA board is not an appropriator. We are appropriators.
Correct. And then if we want a transaction between DNR and ADA to release ADA of the road, maybe DNR should just buy the road from ADA.
Through the chair, the road, and Mr. Johns can correct me if I'm wrong, but the road, as I understand it, is in a strategic location for access to both Pika Unit and Willow. So I think there'll be need for the pad and the road. To what extent that is valued?
Well, I would think that Santos would prefer not to build their own road, permit-wise and cost-wise, efficiency-wise. That sounds like we've got a little quagmire here we need to unwind. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the question, given the commissioner's decision about non-exclusive access on the surface there, how much ability is there to make money off that strategic position of that road?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, that's a good question. There's access needed and staging use of both the pad and the road. How to value that, I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. It would be nice if ADA could give us an idea. I know they've got an audit, or not an audit, but an assessment of it, or appraisal of it, of roughly $13 million. It'd be nice to have a general idea of what it would cost to replace that road and the material. You can pick the material back up and reclimate the land if you had to. not saying we'd do that, but.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we can try to get a replacement cost estimate.
That would be helpful.
In that analysis, can we also get what the fees, the permits would may cost if they had to go through and get permits? And would they have to pay for right-of-ways? And basically, what are the total costs in building an alternative road?
Mm-hmm. And a time frame also, so they got permits, material, and a time frame. If we can have that rough idea also.
Through the chair and to Senator Hoffman as well, I can work on that estimate with Mr. Johns.
Yes, or get assistance from some, I'm sure DNR would be helpful in trying to assist unwind this quagmire. I think they'll probably be invited to the Finance Committee to join the next time. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Roro, you said you had, there's one at least one interested person now that's looking at buying the whole project. Did I hear that right way back in the presentation?
You're the chair, Senator Bishop, that's correct.
Okay. And if an individual wanted to sign an NDA, they could go into the room and look at the assets?
You're the chair, that's correct.
Thank you.
So on that thought, if somebody comes in and buys that, you're talking about the Mustang pad and the leases there versus the road, or including road access. How would that work?
So through the chair, I think the assets are severable, so they could be sold individually, or they could be sold together. ADA is actively trying to find the best solution for this issue, this project, that results in the most return possible. We're not going to reach 100%, I don't believe, or anywhere near it. But we are actively working on solutions as well.
And this general land use permit, create activity, maybe that's not the right word, but general land use, which was available but never used, at least to the testimony today, it had never been used. Can that be repealed?
Through the chair, I'm not sure the terms of that permit.
Okay, so I think the committee needs to find that out, because we're missing $13.9 million. So we need to sort this out.
Through the chair.
Not that you're not a good caretaker of the $13.9 million. We just want to make sure that we get this unwound.
Through the chair, there is a large amount of detail and backup that we will be putting together to assist the committee. There's just a lot to go through.
Right. And I know you're working hard to try to unwind this. You inherited it. We've had several conversations between us on ADA issues before this presentation today. So, we thoroughly understand you're trying to unwind this mess and get it put to bed, because it's been hanging around for over a decade, and it just seems to constantly another gift that keeps giving. So we want to get a solution. Yep. So we have one more, I guess, your last slide, slide 32.
This is really just an additional breakdown of the details of the dividend components.
Okay. So, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going back to the road, who's responsible? Is DNR responsible for the road maintenance now?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I believe Mustang Mach 1 is responsible, and that Santos has agreed to provide some maintenance and is performing some maintenance of the road.
And that's not ADA's Mustang LLC?
No. It's a subsidiary LLC. So there's Mustang, and then there's Mach 1, and then there's Santos.
Okay. We have other questions?
Actually, I do have more of a comment than anything relating to the Mustang Road. I guess as you look at Ada overall, back in the 60s, it was given a grant of $300 million to go ahead and get started to do whatever they wanted to do back, which is a different, before oil was a prominent on the scene. But if you had gone ahead and looked at that, there certainly was a critical report that came out recently by some of the senior economists in the area about if you'd done that $300 million and put it into investments, you could have over $10 billion now because it's been so many years since then. And we've just come off of a bull market. So we'd have in excess of $10 billion. I mean, you only have $1.4 billion in assets. I guess it looks like to me that it's not a good rate of return on what the people of Alaska invested in back in the 60s. And so I guess I preface that because as you look at some of the requests that have been put in before the Finance Committee here, it's not looking really good for some of the other. And I realize this is before your time, way before your time. We were kids back then in the 60s. And so when you think of things like you're getting involved with the West Susitna Access and those kind of things, I would look at that with a streak of pessimism. Or am I wrong in my thinking?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, Ada's embarked on a full rebuttal of that report. We think there are inaccuracies in it, such as the statement that the Red Dog Mine would have gone forward without any assistance from Ada. So we're going through the historical facts and the fiscal facts, and we'll have a full rebuttal report at some point soon. But I would just frankly say at this point that we disagree with the statements and the conclusions in that report.
Okay. We look forward to the
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That review. I think you've hired a consultant. Is that what I read in the paper to help you look back and do an analysis? Is that right?
Chair, we do have Northern Economics on board. Staff is also researching the historical facts and the fiscal facts as well. So we anticipate a strong rebuttal of that report.
Okay. Senator Merritt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems as the Ada board is making some significant decisions. Can you just tell me a little bit more about the board, what the makeup is, how those people are selected?
Through the chair, Senator Merrick, there's a seven-member board, two commissioners, Commissioner of Revenue, Commissioner of Commerce. So that's Commissioner Crum and Commissioner Sandy. Mr. Dana Pruse is the chair of the board. There's some public members. They're all appointed by the governor. I think it's, so it's four, yeah. So five public members, two commissioners.
Thank you. And how long are those terms?
I believe they're 4-year terms.
Thank you.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the work that Ada has done as an investment bank for the state for a lot of small businesses. A lot of viable projects. And I think as we've seen today, even the banking biz, when it comes to these development projects, can be pretty high risk. My concern is that we expand that risk radically when we start building things on spec. And that was the point of some of my questions early on about projects without identified assets or identified deposits at the end of them. That the Mustang issue makes me nervous enough. When we don't even know what's at the end of it, my nervousness goes right through the roof.
Okay. We have any other questions, comments? Mr. Barrero, do you have any final comments? I know it wasn't your, it's not sometimes the most pleasurable committee to come talk to, especially when there's laundry to hang out on the line, but I thought it was best today, and as I mentioned earlier in the beginning of the meeting, I have asked Mr. Raro to take Mustang and hang it on the line. It is what it is, and we need to work through it and understand it and get this put to bed. Do you have any final comments, Mr. Rowe?
No, thank you for the opportunity to present. We'll follow up with all the backup material that's been requested. And, you know, certainly ADA's involved in a range of projects, low risk to high risk. The high risk projects, if they come with a high value return like Red Dog, I think they're worth that risk. Thank you.
Thank you. So that will conclude today's meeting. I'd like to also thank Mr. Rowe's staff, Ms. Alder, Mr. Johns, and their help. And if they can put the financial data together for us, it would be appreciated, along again with the timeline of the particular attention to the cash flow. So that'll conclude today. Tomorrow's meeting will be at 9 a.m. That's tomorrow, 9 a.m. We're going to have a presentation on the Alaska's economy, something we've talked about here many times at the table the last month and a half, 2 months, from the Department of Labor and the Institute of Social and Economic Research from the University of Alaska Anchorage, known as ICER. So we're going to spend some time talking about our GDP and population exodus and how we're going to try to turn that around. So we are adjourned now at 10:42 and a half. We are adjourned.